Blog Talk Radio.
Now, this is the amazing Kreskin. If you could read my thoughts, you'd know you're listening to Mr. Media Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to the amazing Kreskin, the one-of-a-kind mentalist who put the zing in amazing. Stick around.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are nearly 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by thepartyauthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of people who are actually related to the amazing Kreskin in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Okay, folks, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 3. But there's no mystery here, no mind reading required. The number is 3. That's because today marks the third visit to the show by the amazing Kreskin. Now, I know it's not close to the 70-plus appearances the amazing one made to The Tonight Show, but we might be making gains on Mike Douglas, and I'll have our researchers look into that later. Now, there's never a dull moment when Kreskin is around. The first time he was here, we talked about the movie based on his life, The Great Buck Howard, produced by Tom Hanks and starring John Malkovich as, well, you know who. And the last time he was here, in September 2010, we talked about his new shows in Las Vegas, where for the first time ever he offered 30-minute gambling seminars. For the price of admission, you could hear his perfectly legal tips on poker, blackjack, and other card games of chance. Now, that conversation led into something even more interesting, the recent revelation that Kreskin had survived prostate cancer, despite delaying treatment for a year, and that he had kept it secret from everyone around him. So where is he today? Well, we're going to talk to him. He's in Vegas. He's working Vegas. He's appearing in Vegas, but he's taken his act over to the Riviera Hotel and Casino. For showtimes and tickets, go to RivieraHotel.com. Now, I love talking to Kreskin. His energy, his enthusiasm, his zest for everything he does, it can't help but inspire and delight. And Kreskin, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Bob, I have to tell you something. I am very much alive and alert, but God, if ever I wanted anyone to do my eulogy, I think I would have called on you. That was exciting. Thank you very, very much for all your kind remarks. And there was a bidding game going on after I spoke to you, and the people at the Sahara were very good to me, but I've been lured over to the Riviera. Now, the rumors, it's an indefinite run, and the rumors are that I'm going to be here for a year. Originally, the intent was 3 years, and this has nothing to do with the Riviera because I enjoy working here. But, you know, I have to make an indefinite run because, and I think you would understand, folks who followed me through the years, it's a dream to be able to, for a performer to work in an area like this for an extended period of time. But I have a large market around the world that I can't forget. I can't ignore the people that have been supportive of me and good to me. And every year I tour, you know, Canada for 8 weeks. And you're going to be hearing the next time I speak to you, perhaps around New Year's, about an extraordinary plan in another part of the world, which I have never appeared in. So my life really continues to be an adventure. I don't know if we talked about when I last spoke to you, but who would have thought after Buck Howard that this year, you know, the movie Dinner for Schmucks, have you heard about it?
Of course.
And that's the crazy thing is that the actor who's from Canada Zach, I can't say his name, Galifianakis.
Yes,
his hero in the story. I mean, that some other critics have mentioned it. When you see him in the initial interview, in the storyline, next to him is a picture of Yours Truly, which I had to autograph, of course, to the character he's playing. And at the opening, he was saying to me, he says, Gretchen, I've watched you for years on television. He says, you don't know what a neat feeling it was to have this picture of you next to me. Now, there is a rock group, a rock group called, and I'm not familiar with them until I went to the opening, called Clutch, and they have a new album out in the past couple months, and the feature song of it is The Amazing Crest, and so it's kind of nice to see this whole panorama of activity going out, even as I'm performing.
So the kids dig The Amazing One still.
Well, I got it most of the time, and I have the services that alert me various mentions of means, and of course a lot of the crime stories will bring my name up indirectly, but a lot of the news mentions are in sports. I mean, did we talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates when I last spoke to you? I don't know if we mentioned it.
I don't recall that, no.
Yeah, well, that was I've had coverage through the years in sports, but I never had such an extraordinary amount of coverage in the sports world, including Lynn Berman, who's the national sports commentator and so forth. But I don't know much about sports. I know baseball's played with a cue stick on a table. No, I'm only kidding you, of course. my father was a semi-pro baseball player. My brother had a passion for baseball. So I remember as a kid, going to see and Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio and then a few years, not a few years ago, but yeah, a few years ago, Phil Rizzuto, of course, had become the sportscaster for the New York Yankees. And I remember I was playing in Kansas City, and I had never met Phil Rizzuto before. And I had a day off at the nightclub. I was a period, so they got me to go to the game, and I was invited in the press box to watch the game with the press. And I got such a kick out of it because you had people there from the Daily News, the New York Post, and the New York papers. And they were kidding me. They kept saying, Preston, tell us how the game's going to end so we can go home early. I said, please stop this. So evidently, Phil Rizzuto, well, I know what he heard that I was in the press box. And he, during the end of one inning, he calls and says, let Preston come on the air with me. So just the two of us went on and broadcast the Yankee game for the next number of innings. All I can tell you is when I got home to the New York area, people kept saying to me, Creston, we saw you and heard you covering the Yankee game. We never knew how little you know about baseball. I didn't know what I was talking about, but I had a ball. And then the irony of it is that just a few years ago, talk about the background of the Yankees, Yogi Berra, stepped down that year from promoting a certain commercial, and I was used to do the Aflac commercial. It was there's always a duck involved. It was a great idea because in the scenario, I have this person on stage who I'm supposed to be hypnotizing and holding this pendulum, and evidently the duck is in the wings and starts swaying back and forth, and so the commercial goes. And according to advertising ages, it was the most recognized, popular commercial for, I guess, about 6 or 8 months of the year. So in an indirect way, it's interesting how sports come with a picture. Well, the background, the reason I bring this up is I was called by some sports writers some months ago about the Pittsburgh Pirates. Of course, I know who they are, but I don't get to watch any games. And they've had one of the worst records in baseball history. And this is a person who's not sophisticated, does not watch sports or take much of the time, but they have 18 years had one of the lowest records that you couldn't even conceive in baseball history. And the sports people said to me, Christian, do you think there's something? You work with groups of people, you train them in various techniques of concentration. area of endeavor where you need to improve, especially when there's a group, whether it's a business group, a team group, who understand what I'm saying. I came to this conclusion. I said, I'd like to work with the team. I'd like to work them once a week for maybe over a period of 5 weeks. I'm going to charge them because I'm under the impression that baseball is big money. So things are not done for free. And I don't mean that sarcastically. I didn't mean I was going to, be unfair, but I expected to be paid, of course. But I needed to spend 45 minutes or an hour with them each session. I said that I don't want any of the management there. I don't want them attending. In fact, my suggestion is that the key heads of the organization leave and go to Tibet on a vacation for 2 years.
Oh, sure.
If they can't do it for 2 years, they should do it for exactly 6 months. And, of course, the various press, I was interviewed by TV, radios, writers. At first they chuckled and said, what do you mean? I said, it's not as sarcastic, but the truth of the matter is, in any area of life, in any business, in any organization, when you have a negative cloud hanging over you for a year, 2 years, 18 years, if you maintain some of the key factors of that cloud, it's very hard for people who are part of that organization to shake the feeling because we are more contagiously suggestible in groups. And I said, you've got to get key people out of the picture for a sustained amount of time so they can look at things with refreshment. Well, needless to say, the heads of the team turned me down. They said, we already have a behaviorist working with the team. Well, that was 6-8 months ago, and guess what? The record of the team by the end of the season was just plain bad. And Len Berman went on television and said, what the heck does this team have to lose in not bringing in Kraskin? My prediction is simply this. It's not negative. If they continue in this way, they're going to have 2 more years of severe losses. And it doesn't take an astute person or a mentalist, because there's a lot of psychology involved. And when you've got a history hanging over, you've got to do something that jolts and changes things around. So it's been quite a fascinating, I've been interviewed almost 70 different reporters in sports all over the world. So it's kind of refreshing. And my availability is still there, but the other thing I had to quickly tell you is, on the humorous side, a few years ago, I took Canada 8 weeks a year. And you ever hear of a team called the Raptors?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, and they're in Canada, and they had a very bad record of results, and it's a basketball team. I'm kidding. It's not baseball. But anyway, so I was appearing in Canada, and some of the interviewers said, what about the Raptors? And I didn't know. I got honest with you, I didn't know what they're talking about. They said, they're having a losing streak. And I said, I can't meet with them. It turns out that finally I had to leave Canada and I was in the States. But anyway, everyone started doing this. I said, I got a crazy idea. If you can borrow from a movie years gone by about another issue. I said, let's find a show that I can be on that can be heard widely, a radio show, live, and plan a date for me to come on. Well, by then they had lost 11 or 12 games. I think it ended up by 13 in all. They got me, so we announced I was going to be on this radio show 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and I went on the air live. I said, they've lost 13 games. I mean, this is bad, or whatever, 12 or 13. I said, we got to break this losing streak. All of you listening in, if you're in a car, pull over to the side. If you're home, just pull down the shade or go in the room where there's a blank wall that you can look at. If you're in the office, just go by an open window where you can look at the sky. But if you're driving, pull over to the side. By the way, the police that day did not know what in God's name was going around in Toronto, downtown Toronto. Traffic was backed up because cars were triple parked and they didn't know what was going on. I said, this is only going to be for a minute or two. I don't want to cause chaos. I said, okay, let's all together. We're going to give them positive thoughts. Win, win, win. And this was like a couple minutes. Well, guess what? that night they broke their losing streak. So a few days later they were in the Meadowland in New Jersey and had me as a special guest. But other than that, I'm not into sports, you can understand.
Okay, all right. Well, look, let's take a real quick break and we'll come back. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the third Mr. Media Radio interview with the amazing Kreskin, now appearing at the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. And we'll be right back.
This is a public disservice message from the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Don't waste your evenings doing volunteer work at your local mental hospital. Remember, even if you do, the crazy people there will probably think you didn't.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with the amazing Kreskin, now appearing at the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. Kreskin, I got to ask you, a friend of mine, I told him that I was going to talk to you, and he said, and I don't know how you feel about this, because we don't discuss this ahead of time, as you would say.
That's right.
He wanted to know what you thought of guys like James Randi and Uri Geller and even Penn and Teller.
Well, they, you know, they're into the magically oriented, and in the case of I haven't heard of Randi for a few years, but I guess he's semi-retired in Florida. But you know, he didn't really make his reputation as a performer. He made it as a debunker of psychics and so forth. And Penn and Teller, that's a whole other genre. I mean, you know, let's face it, I guess they've got a whole show which you can't mention the name of because one of the words in it.
You can use it. You can say it here.
I've never seen the show. I honestly have never seen it. But anyway, listen, that's the world. And it's a narrow world, but it hasn't always. Case of Geller, you know, for years he claimed that he could control objects. That was the whole building of, you know, bend objects. And it was many, many years he could bend objects, control mechanical things. Frankly, I wouldn't want to be, if I had a heart piece, sure, I wouldn't want to be in an airplane next to him because, God forbid, he spontaneously starts controlling mechanical movement. And if it's a heart, that would be dangerous. And then in recent years, I guess, to resurrect himself or, you know, create a new end up with the TV show phenomenon, which he's done portions around where we had magicians come on as fake psychics. So it's kind of muddled his position, but I don't really know any of them. And, there is a rule. Skepticism is an important thing in life, but many, many skeptics are authorities on their own point of view. It's almost as if they're under a post-hypnotic suggestion that, this may not exist and so forth. I always feel that the best thing to do is take a knitting needle and stab their hand and say, now, you're sure that pain is for real, you know, because you could be hallucinating it. But other than that, I really haven't given much thought to that. As a matter of fact, my current book, Kreskin Confidential, I discuss a lot of behind-the-scenes experiences I had with people from, I mean, a lot of them in broadcasting, all walks of life, including Carson, with whom I did 88 shows, who was skeptical about a lot of things, but, you know, not narrow in their thinking. And I always say to people, my audiences, for God's sakes, we're really on Earth for such a short amount of time. Sample everything you can, nothing that are dangerous. I don't mean drugs and so forth, because that's a sad thing in my commentary on I'm discussing it with a number of people who are writing about some of the serious social problems in our culture. And we see today, you know, an onslaught of people in the public eye, of course, it's more popular and we're more aware of entertainers and actors and actresses who are really having very, very serious drug problems. And we've got to understand and have our sympathy for them. I know it bothers us. It bothers us that we see with all the money they have, they go in, they have, they come out, and they fall back into it. But maybe what they're offering in the tragic situation they're in is a lesson that, damn it, everybody listen to me. And any of you young people going to college or what have you, sampling drugs here and there, better become aware. Nobody wants to tell you this. But I'll tell you, this is the damn truth. The percentage of rehabilitation in serious drugs is so low that you'd be in a state of shock. So the chances are, if you end up on years from now, you're going to be in worse shape than now. Somebody needs to tell the truth. It's big money to treat drugs, and it's an important part of our culture. But tell the public how relatively unsuccessful it's been, so that people trying these and having fun because they see comedians who can't get it laughs any other way, you know, toying around with the funniness of drugs and so forth, find out how very difficult it is to ever be cured.
Well, I'm not sure how we got there from where we started, but let me ask you one more question, and then I know you need to get going. Kriskin, your ads say, I already know what you're thinking, but I've got to ask you, why would you want to know what I'm thinking? Even I don't want to know what I'm thinking.
Oh, my God. If I were in that room with you now and read your thoughts, boy, would this cause a state of intrigue on the part of all the listeners. It has stayed with me. That has stayed with me everywhere I've gone. And as a matter of fact, here in Vegas, a gentleman who's involved in a show, Icons, and is producing it, Sandy Hackett, his father, with the legendary Buddy Hackett, and we've gotten to see each other after all these years and reminisced, and Hackett used to constantly kid about me, but he reminded me of a story. I was headlining in Vegas just some years ago, and Hackett says, come on over here, brings me in to get to his casino where he's working, and his son was dealing, Sandy, who's now working here, in the show, is dealing, and Hackett said to everybody at the table, get out of this table. Of course, he used other language. He says, I want him only to deal to, my friend to deal only to Chris. And so, can you imagine this scenario? Buddy Hackett looking over things, Sandy Hackett, his son, dealing, and one person, Kriskin, playing blackjack. That was, assuming we didn't have a camera, that would have been one for the books, you know?
Wow.
At that point, Hackett said, boy, you better know what he's thinking, but of course, the dealer doesn't know the down cards when it comes to blackjack. Isn't it real quick? There's a book out. I'm very excited about this. It's written by Bill Westheimer. It's called Manual, The Personality of Hands. It's published by Petri Pie Press, but it's called The Personality of Hands. And I'm going to tell you something. It's such an intriguing. I did the preface for it, even though there's a section on me. What he did was photograph the hands of key people from different parts of the world. People, some people in show business and what have you. Just their hands, and then did a page on the feedback he got. It wasn't palm reading. It was just people's hands are absolutely intriguing, and for me, it made it more fascinating because my handshake, which, of course, was glamorized in the great Buck Howard movie, and has been very important to me. So the book is called The Personality of Hands. You know something? It is really darn intriguing.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I think you just gave it a good plug.
Well, I did it because and by the way, it's gotten out. Yes, it's true. Before I came into Vegas a few weeks ago, I did a seminar. Kevin Trudeau sponsors brought me into New York City, and they limited to about 100 people because it was a training program that I've done privately for years, never made public. I've done it privately with corporations, training people, not teaching them, but conditioning them so they could use their inner intuitive abilities. And it was supposed to be limited to 100. It was 300 people. People came as far away as Thailand, and it was kept, was not publicized. But the seminar ran 4.5 hours, and now I'm being called from different parts of the world to continue with these seminars. It's something I've kept confidential all these years. But you know, with the way things are in our culture and society right now, I maybe hopefully can give something of some support or help.
Well. We're completely out of time, so let me let everyone know. Folks, you can see our good friend, the amazing, amazing Kriskin, now appearing at the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. And for dates, times, and tickets, you can go to rivierahotel.com. And for an assortment of Kriskin books and videos at a great price, please visit mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. Kriskin, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today, and please keep coming back.
Well, thank you, Bob. And as I've said before, we will not say goodbye, just to be continued.
All right. And folks, for more original interviews with your favorite amazing guests, surf over to our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise Mr. Media, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
In this season of hope, you can do something extraordinary. Join your neighbors and the American Red Cross and help save the day. When the next disaster strikes, when a neighbor's house burns down, if someone needs life-saving blood or the comfort of a helping hand, hope. Support the American Red Cross and help save the day. Visit redcross.org.